Yeah, I was in the UK last September, and it was very peaceful, very pro-Charlie Kirk. I think my theory is Britain has not had free speech ever up until 2 years ago when Elon bought Twitter. And all of a sudden, when the media lies and says, this guy's a racist, this guy was harassing Muslims, this guy waterboarded a beautiful little Syrian child, you can go, no, that Syrian child was threatening to rape his sister, and he just shoved him. And now the media, who is the media and the government are the same thing there. I mean, it's the British Broadcasting Corporation. It is the government. So they're not used to not controlling the narrative. They're actually working hard to shut down Twitter in Britain. So one of the reasons I think they identify with Charlie Kirk so much is they just got free speech for the first time ever in 2020. Was it four when he bought it? So obviously when the messiah of free speech is killed, excuse my blasphemy, they feel it. So let me, if you're remotely near Britain or you're remotely interested in Britain, I mean, Britain is a dystopian time machine of where we will be in 5 years. So again, ignore it at your peril. But let's give them a free ad here.
May 16th. May 16th, four nations, one kingdom. The entire globe's media, the alternative media, the independent media, citizen journalists from every country in the world are descending on our capital city on May 16th. Your voice, your message is going worldwide. We've got the world's attention. Now, what comes with that? I'm excited because on September 13th, we laid the foundation for a cultural movement. It's going to grow. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be in central London, and your country needs you. Why am I here now talking about this? Because from the days of the English Defence League, what builds a cultural movement? Music. We had our own songs in the EDL. We had our own identity. That's what we've brought to you with Unite the Kingdom. It's who we are. We're uniting four nations, one kingdom. That's the name of our new song. We're releasing this song now. I ask you to learn it, share it, spread it. Everywhere I walk before the last event, every street I walk down, we'll see you on September 13th, Tommy. We'll see you on September
13th. That's the previous one.
Make sure May 16th is etched in everyone's minds, everywhere. Every video you make, every comment you make.
I think it might be different. I think it might pop off, as they say. And I'm worried about Tommy going to jail swearing again. His list of crimes, what he actually did, if you actually look it up, it's exactly the same as Trump. 34 counts as a felon. Oh, that sounds really bad. I guess it's arson, rape, murder, child sex charges. They must be, and when you have that many, there's going to be like all the other criminals, right? When you look up a career criminal's rap sheet, there's a wide variety of horrific things. No, it's boring paperwork, lies, and garbage. And that's the same with Tommy. Right now, actually, he's doing a talk tonight in Gainesville, Florida, at the University of Florida. But when he goes back, which is in a couple weeks, he's facing 10 years. Why is he facing 10 years? Again, I know you're parochial, you don't have a passport, you don't care about Britain, but this is relevant. He's facing 10 years because he had gotten so many threats. He's had 13 major threats on his life. I don't mean like someone's rude on Twitter. I mean the police, by law, I think it's called Overton's Law.
Something like that, yeah.
Because someone was threatened and the police didn't tell him, and that guy was killed. So the police have come to his house 13 times and said, you have a credible threat. He's on the front page of the ISIS jihadist newsletter with a target on his face. So anyway, he's on the lam. He's with his wife and kids. He's got similar kids to me. And a reporter tracks him down, takes pictures of him, and doxes the hotel he's at. Like says what hotel he's staying at. While there's everything short of an official fatwa out on him. So you're threatening my children's lives is what you're doing. And as I keep saying, you know, what jihad and left-wing liberal Karens have in common is they're happy to dox your house and put your children's safety in general. The mafia, in peril, in danger. The mafia, Bloods and Crips, if your kids are around, they will not shoot you. They'll wait till you're alone. Not liberals, not the Dems, not the media. They're happy to throw your kids into the wood chipper with you. That just shows they're demonic. So he showed the journalists, he sent the journalists privately, didn't make it public, a picture of his own house. And he said, how would you feel if I published this? Wouldn't that be?
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Before we get into Ireland, I'd just like to briefly get sexist, if I may, for a second. When I was in Britain, Tommy said, you know, this has always been kind of predominantly male movement, but we finally have the mums, finally have the women. It was dangerous, so women didn't want to go to rallies and get in a punch-up, and men didn't want them to either. I don't want to spend my time protecting you and not worrying about what's going on around me. But things calmed down a bit. I think Antifa started going to jail. And now women are involved. Dude, something is going on with boomer females. I guess it's handy when they're a Karen and they're like, you shouldn't be fishing here. Okay. A lot of guys are not handling their business. And it's good to have someone call out, you know, ne'er-do-wells, lunchtime rowdies, youths, whatever they're calling them now. But the entitlement is just insane. Like, at this event on Saturday, show pictures of do you have a video of America First?
Yes.
You got to see this place. It's way the hell out. It's an hour from the city. But that's good because it means Antifa's not going to meet it there. And I'm not scared of Antifa, but I don't feel like fighting. But it is the coolest place. Whenever I go there, I go, Joe, that's the owner. I go, this place is a little drab. Have you considered sprucing it up a little bit? Like, one of the 5,000 things you see when you walk in there is, remember when Joe Biden wiped out on his bike? That's there, like in a corner, life-size. He's got a mannequin in with like a bicycle helmet and a bike all collapsed. That's half of 1% of what is on that place. What is taking you so long?
Find a good one.
Find a good one. I sent a video going around when I was there. Tommy put a bunch up. Are you just looking on the internet?
Yeah, 1 second.
Well, did you say yes? I have one on my phone I could have sent you.
Okay.
So, what are we doing here? Hello? Oh, that's great, Sean. Thanks. Thanks for saying you had something when you didn't have it.
That's it there.
Oh, now I got to go into my stupid phone and ruin the whole show. That's the guy who owns it. Library, have you noticed your phone now finding anything is an absolute nightmare? Where have I got it now? Are you showing it while I look?
Yep.
No, you're not. You're showing a guy sitting in a chair. There we go. That's a good shot of it. Pretty over the top, huh? So anyway, we're there. And when you're doing an event, you don't want to sort of drain the chi, spoil the surprise by lounging around, especially because there was a meet and greet for him after the thing. So you want to have some oomph to the surprise. Hi, it's me. Rather than just be there in everyone's face. So we go to the green room. It's also, you want to store your chi. You don't want to be drained when you go on stage. And plus, I get nervous before a show, so I like to pace and stuff. And these women just walk in. And they're standing there, talking Tommy's ear off. I guess they're groupies, but like he's not interested. So eventually I go, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, sorry. She was British. I think she flew down for something. And I go, we're getting set up here. So like no one but security and, you know, people involved in the thing. Oh, right. Well, here's another example. I walk up and this woman, we're in a bit of a rush. We don't know if we're going to get jumped outside the event. I mean, Tommy and I have both been attacked at events like this. Pepper sprayed, everything. It's probably not going to happen way out on Long Island, but it's possible. So, you know, our head's on a swivel, and this woman just stops him. Oh, Tommy. It's like, oh, you're right. He's overly polite. Him and, like, Ezra Levant, I don't like talking to people. But I guess they both are in activism, so they're constantly networking. I'm not looking for friends. Don't approach me if you see me in public. But he'll talk to people for, like, an hour. So she bumps into him, and she drops a piece of paper. And he goes, oh, that's Joel's. And she goes, no, that's yours. It's your Wikipedia. I was just reading about you. I hadn't heard of you. What? Look, there's nothing wrong with not knowing who Tommy Robinson is, but why are you stopping a stranger after having just read about him on Wikipedia that you're carrying around in your hand? And she goes, you're a cute little guy. Are you in a dream? It's like lucid dreaming where you can just go up to anyone you want and slap them and take their glasses or whatever. And it's a pattern. And then talking in the audience, this other woman has her phone on. Like, you're doing she's talking about girl rape and horrific stuff. I don't even know if I can say it on InfoWars, but raping young girls underneath the Pakistani flag, branding them on their buttocks, an M for Muhammad, nailing a girl's tongue to the table. The gangs there are like gangs everywhere, drugs, violence, all that stuff. They have names like the Gambinos, but also child rape. I don't know of any other world where that crime is added to normal gang life. Go talk to any biker gang in the country. That's not on their to-do list. But he's talking about stuff like that, and his ringer goes off. Someone's ringer goes off. And then there was one guy, granted he wasn't a woman, he had two phones. One was filming the event. All right. Kind of uncool, but okay. And then the other, he's FaceTiming someone and talking about this loud. Yeah, we're here, there, the other. That loud in the front row. I screamed at him. At one point, I said to someone in the audience, I can still hear talking back there. I'm going to kill your entire family. I'm going to start with your estranged cousins and old coworkers, and then move in on aunts and uncles, and you'll be the last to go. So I guess Harris already covered. How much time do we have, Sean?
We've got 16 minutes.
Oh, good. Well, we will do Ireland. Ireland is popping off. Oh, yeah. Sorry, one thing I wanted to say about May 16th. I have a funny feeling that it's going to get violent. Now, to keep Tommy out of jail, he'll have to make clear, we do not want violence, or he'll get blamed for it. But I've heard that they're saying they're not going to leave, they're not going home. They're mad. I think when you're a huge country like America, you don't see the rage of being invaded. You become like a frog boiling in oil. We don't even notice that we are losing 200 people a day to opioids, or that 20 blacks are killed by 20 blacks every day, because it's so big, you don't see it in front of you. But a smaller country like Britain, they see it. And the demonstration in September was fairly upset, but this one, they're really mad. So you better not get arrested for egging on the violence. Although Trump told them to be peaceful, and it didn't make them peaceful, right? I mean, sorry, it didn't make the media stop lynching him for promoting the violence. They call it his riot. They say he egged them on. In fact, Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys, the reason his sentence was so bad is because he refused to take a plea because it included blaming Trump for the violence and lying and saying that Trump told him to. If he had lied, he would have had nothing. So that'll be contentious. And now we move on to Ireland, where it's much smaller than Britain. So they are seeing this invasion. Now, it's called a fuel protest. Their fuel is about twice the price of ours. They've got to import most of it. And this war in Iran is making it worse for them. So the government should move in and take down some of these ridiculous taxes, at least temporarily, because farmers can't do their job. Truckers can't do their job. So I've always accused Ireland of being too woke. They remind me of my home country, Scotland. They hate Trump with a passion. If you wear a MAGA hat in Ireland, it's going down. But they seem to be waking up. This is like the trucker convoy, which, by the way, the trucker convoy in Canada, I think really, it was a major catalyst, and it pushed especially working class people to stand up and fight back. I don't think you could possibly overstate how valuable that convoy was. Last 24 hours, Irish parachutes have shut down the nation. Truck drivers, bus drivers, and farmers have paralyzed cities with massive blockades. Even as Garda, that's the police, threatened 6 months in jail, more patriots flood the streets in defiance. Ireland is primed for revolution. You know what's insane about Ireland? Like, they have Black Lives Matter there, and blacks bitch about slavery. Irish were slaves. Irish didn't have slaves. They were slaves. They were slaves in America. There's one place you can't argue about how horrible blacks were treated. It's Ireland. So it's going down. Conor McGregor opened his restaurant, gave everyone free stuff, free food and drink. I don't know, man. This could be good. Listen to this. This was some local farmer screaming at the police, saying Michael Collins, that's the guy who sort of started Ireland and created the IRA. He said he would have shot you all with a machine gun.
Betrayed the Irish people. You betrayed the sacred land that our forefathers fought. And you
can shame. Oh, more bad words.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I don't know why they slow on his smile because he didn't know
at
how
least,
to say.
At least my grandchildren will say he tried for Ireland. Michael Collins, if he was here, he'd have a machine gun on you cunts.
Jeez. Oh,
no. I can tell you that much. This is all over social media, and I'm telling you, the people of Ireland have enough of your traitorism.
Any pride?
You're no longer
Irish.
So that's
good to see. The world's waking up. Although over in Australia, I think the world is going to sleep. Have you heard this Ben Robert Smith guy? So this is down in Australia. I think we have this problem too. There's a justice crisis going on in this country. These judges that we're getting now, they haven't even graduated law school. They're like magistrates. They were a clerk, a friend. Did you see this? Go to 4-5. I was talking about this guy last week. This is random criminal. Is appointed a judge. What are the criteria here? Pennsylvania ex-con, 27, who's been jailed 3 times, turns over a new leaf to become state's youngest ever judge. And, you know, here in New York, the NYPD, they'll settle a $5 million suit because the all-black jury is going to make it $20 million, $200 million, just out of tribalism. They don't care about justice. Juries are totally polluted in this country. Look at Alex Jones. Look at that case. Look at Tommy Robinson. So this is a Western problem. We invented justice, really, with the Magna Carta. We used to be at the top of the heap. Now we're drifting into third world levels of justice. So don't separate England, Ireland, and Australia from us. So this guy's a war hero, Ben Robert Smith, right? This is up to 3-6, Sean. And Australia was in Afghanistan. They put up these billboards all over Afghanistan in Arabic saying, did our gods do any war crimes? If so, let us know. Yes. Wait, that's 3-6?
There's a tweet above it. Do you want them to see the text?
No. Well, maybe.
Okay.
Go to 3-7 then.
Okay.
Because that's a good response to it. So he's accused of shooting an unarmed man. Look, war is hell. I'm sorry. He's also accused of Sparta-ing some guy. He was awarded the Victoria Cross for a single island. I talked to him last week, right?
Yeah.
I spoke to an Afghan veteran who told me that the Australian government literally paid for billboards in Afghanistan, offering to pay random Afghans to come forward with war crime allegations. So look at this guy. He looks like a superhero, right? And so this happened 15 years ago. There's zero proof, but they say, well, a lot of his fellow Green Berets, whatever, special services guys, have testified against him.
Yeah.
Go to 3-6. Who exactly and what exactly did they say?
But I think what did it was the 21 former SAS and serving SAS soldiers that served with him that gave evidence against him.
Yeah, 21 of Ben Robert Smith's mates came out against him. That means he has to be guilty. That's sort of the argument that's being floated around, that because 21 SAS guys came out against Ben Robert Smith, you know, he must be guilty. We must take 21 guys' side against Ben Robert Smith. But that's not actually what happened. A lot of these guys didn't voluntarily come forward with testimony. They were coerced into doing so, either in the Brereton report or in the defamation trial where they were subpoenaed. And in actual actual fact, many of them didn't want to testify. In that defamation trial, one of the lead journalists there from Nine said, "The great majority of these witnesses were subpoenaed by us and they didn't want to be here. They don't want to help us." And then a soldier from the same trial said in court, "I still don't agree with the fact that Ben Robert Smith is here under extreme duress for killing bad dudes we went over there to kill." It's like this idea that's floating around of like 21 SAS guys being unable to sleep at night and just saying, "Oh, got to go and show the world what Ben Robert Smith did." It's not the full story. But the full story is even more clouded than that, because the prosecutor doesn't really have much more evidence than this. They've gone on record to say that it's really just the testimonies they're relying on. And that could get you past the line in a defamation case. But in a criminal case, which is what we are now going to be in with Ben Robert Smith, that has to be beyond reasonable doubt. And if all you're going off is testimonies and no like physical evidence, no autopsies, fragment analysis, whatever it is, it's going to be very hard to prove there's no other explanation or alibi, etc. And maybe the AFP or the special investigator, whatever, have some secret evidence they haven't alluded to at all yet. But fundamentally, Ben Robert Smith is innocent until proven guilty. And what a lot of people aren't picking up on is the level of witch hunting that is being done against him, particularly
by... We get it. 3-8. I'm going to bring this back to America. I'm always self-conscious here when I talk to Americans and about any other country, because they always roll their eyes. And I'm the same way about the non-West. I couldn't care less about a mudslide in Sri Lanka, but we're all interlinked. And I'm going to show you why in a second. That's them arresting him. Now, it doesn't really make sense to blur his face. He's everywhere. Go to 3-9. They said he kicked Ali Jan in the chest, sending him falling backwards over a cliff before he landed on the ground. They said that he ordered another soldier to shoot him dead. They say he was involved in the death of Afghan nationals. The victims were not taking part in hostilities at the time of their murder. I don't know. You sent him to go kill people and you don't like the way he killed people. And you really hunted for examples of that. We're out of Afghanistan. It was a complete disaster. We deeply regret going there. We deeply regret Syria. We deeply regret Iraq. But as of today, Iran's just fine. Thanks. So that's... So go to 4-1. So that's far away, right? It's a good 20-hour plane ride away. It doesn't concern me. Well, Tommy Robinson is a 6-hour plane ride away. That's as close as the Canadian border. Montreal's 6 hours away from here. We're getting closer. So what is this here?
April 5th, 2016.
Oh, yeah,
this is an idyllic Southern California spring day. As I'm walking out to take the kitchen garbage out, I turn around the corner and pass a big white windowless van. All of a sudden, the door swings open and this tall uniformed guy steps out and he has a piece of paper in his hands and he says, "Are you David Dalyden?" And he says, "I'm with the California Department of Justice. We have a search warrant for your home." And he hands me the warrant. And I think to myself, oh gosh, you know, what's going to happen next? So about 5 or 6 California DOJ agents started stomping through my apartment. The other 5 of them standing on the lawn outside. Some of them were armed with AR-15s. Some of them had canine dogs with them. They had come for me. In 2013, I began and orchestrated an almost 3-year-long, very in-depth, comprehensive investigative journalism study about the harvesting and trafficking of body parts from late-term abortions. There's multiple violations and multiple issues that you very quickly start to learn about when you look into it. There's the basic problem of selling body parts, where you're basically creating a system, creating transactions, creating business relationships that incentivize the objectification and the destruction of human beings in order to keep the business going. So for about 30 months, we went undercover with the explicit purpose of partnering with some of the biggest Planned Parenthood abortion clinics in the country to send their technicians in, harvest body parts from the abortions that were being done that day, and then package up the parts and ship them off to different customers all around the country, sometimes around the world. In July of 2015, we began to release the undercover video series. I had been hoping that this was something that would, you know, that would maybe generate 100,000 views or something. Instead, what happened was even bigger than I could have imagined. Within less than a week, We had close to 3 million views on YouTube of the first video and multiple congressional committees announcing that they were launching federal investigations of Planned Parenthood's involvement in fetal trafficking and fetal experimentation. The truth got out there. And the words of Planned Parenthood's own leadership describing their organization's participation in these activities went viral and was being publicized for the whole world to see. Looking back on it from the information that we know now, I now know what was going on was that Kamala Harris, at the explicit instruction of Planned Parenthood, had targeted me and me alone among all undercover video news gatherers in the state of California to enforce the California video recording law against me and to punish me for speaking the truth about her powerful campaign donors at Planned Parenthood.
Okay, so we get the idea that that's worth looking into. They harassed him, they almost killed him, they tried to jail him, and it was all for speaking truth to power, as the left keeps saying. And yes, that was 2013. This is James O'Keefe's life. This is why he says, my price is my life. This is what he does for a living. Live that guy's terror. Took 11 years defending himself over one story. This is what they do, people who hold them accountable. Nobody is held accountable because the people who have the power to do so are afraid of the retaliation. Dave is different, is love of the truth. And then it says, final charge dismissed against David Daleiden for exposing Planned Parenthood. So that's April 2nd. And this, he released this information, began his investigation, 2013. Over 10 years of persecution for this guy. So while we mock Australia and mock Ireland and mock Britain as being totalitarian states and we're free here, we're not. And there's two-tier justice here. Look at this, 4-3. Apparently, if you're a person of color and you vote Democrat, you can run over cops. That's perfectly reasonable. Shit, boss, don't need no commentary. He's a good deke on that guy, huh? Yeah. Very athletic. So, in Charlotte, North Carolina, woman rams cop with car, gets $3,000 bond, leaves jail, gets indicted for assault, deadly weapon, still no jail. Same woman rams second man with car 3 weeks later, gets $10,000 bond, leaves jail, currently walking free. So what is the pattern here? We have two-tier justice. We don't prosecute blacks because it's embarrassing, and they vote Democrat. And when they're on a jury, 4-4, we don't get justice. So we have a justice problem in the Western world, and it's just as bad here as it is everywhere else. Oh, this case was grim. I mean, you've seen this one, I assume, right?
You got 1 minute, just so you know.
Zoom out?
Yeah.
I will keep it light when I come back. Jury trials don't work because they no longer trials are justice-minded peers, but rather ethnic headcounts that are determined by the in-group preference of the jurors. Particularly black and Hispanic jurors show a notable tendency to side with their ethnic group against the evidence of the case in an interracial one. I read, too, that whites tend to overcorrect and be harder on white perps because they don't want to show bias, whereas the tribalism works the normal way with everyone else. And the common thread here, too, is look at the victims. Like, while everyone's calling Tommy Robinson a Zionist and a Jew lover and all that, he's out there trying to stop girls getting raped in Britain, and they are getting raped to the tune of thousands. That child was murdered, and the jury went soft on him because of tribalism. Half the time, the judges are black, and they feel like they have to protect a brother. That seems to be the pattern, I'm afraid. So, I don't know what we do about this. We've got to reboot the justice system in the Western world.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How to put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chamber's on. Medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhealthstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexhealthstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexhealthstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexhealthstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So I guess we were talking about racism, in a sense. I mean, you're talking about justice failure, and we have a white war hero being persecuted for doing nothing, and then we have people of color allowed to run over cops and kill dads because of their race. Canada's talking right now about codifying into law race-based sentencing. In other words, whites get much harsher sentences than blacks because they know not what they do. That's illegal. How are we going back in time? How were we more civilized in 1979 than we are today? How are we so much dumber? Why are we wearing Crocs and pajamas all the time? So let's confront this. Let's discuss racism for a little bit. Cue.
I'm a black female. What else could I have done to piss you off?
Black woman?
It is a dream.
This is really inconvenient. I saw, maybe we should start with 6ix9ine. That's a sexy number. I saw this video about this kid who had to wear special shoes. And he seems like a great kid. He's 7 feet tall. His shoes are Nike, and I forget who else refused to make him his own shoes. But Under Armour came in, and so he loves Under Armour. Wait, is that 6'9"?
6'9".
Okay, go to 6'8" then. Spoiler alert. So it's a cute little, you know, local news piece about how Under Armour came in and they made it. His shoes are insane. They're in the Guinness Book of World Records. That's what I think this is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Eric Kilburn Jr., and you go, what an all-American kid. I mean, I feel like it's kind of unfortunate to be made that huge, you know? Like, you can't sit on a plane and it's inconvenient. But it's a heartwarming story. Click on the link. Maybe there's a video there. Go down a bit. Yeah, okay, Bigfoot guy. Don't show me your gross feet, dude. Okay, enough. This foot fetish site? So there's no video there.
Doesn't look like it.
Oh, shoot. I should have included it. But then, anyway, I'm doom scrolling so much, I see this other kid. And I go, that looks like the cute kid who got the shoes made by Under Armour. It's such an all-American story. And I think, is this what our culture is? Is this how polluted our culture has become? That this all-American quarterback, this 7-foot-tall Guinness Book of World Records super kid, sponsored by Under Armour, is speaking in Ebonics and talking about how he's GD, which I believe means I'm in the Gangster's Disciples, which is one of the most violent gangs in America, which you clearly are not in. I've never seen a non-black member. And then I ask Grok, and Grok says, yeah, that's the same.
Yeah, come on, I got the brick.
Damn, you got that money.
Well, I hate niggas.
You said what?
Again with the clips, so I got the... I think we get... Let's let it go a little bit longer.
What you say?
Oh, my stars.
It's my girl, so get right, nigga.
What?
You don't fucking... Don't
be... Anyway, sorry. I keep forgetting you can't swear on this. Yeah, he... uses the N-word repeatedly, talks about how hot his girl is, shows the hundreds of dollars in his pocket. He doesn't pull out a gun, but he alludes to having one. And then says he's in the Gangster's Disciples. So this garbage culture has permeated every part of our life. And it just creates more animosity. It's not a good thing. And now... You have these kids that get told they suck and they're the most horrible culture on earth. So then they adopt a non-white culture and they end up with that terrible culture, gang culture. But this is what drives them there. Listen to this guy discussing what white people are like.
Nastiest, most disgusting, vile creatures on the planet. You might have one or two white people out of a million that might be okay. Being white means we don't have to show you our ugliness, but we're going to make sure we show you the ugliness of everyone else. Like,
wait,
white
pause.
People...
Being white means we don't have to show you our ugliness. What are kids exposed to in kindergarten through college? I wouldn't be surprised if this very video was in a class. This could be, if you wrote this out as an essay, it would be a totally mainstream, well-accepted academic essay that your daughter and son would be told to memorize and submit a book report on. So what are you talking about? You're only allowed to show the ugliness of other people? I'm probably going to get in trouble for even showing this segment. And I live behind a paywall where you have to give your credit card and your address and a secret password to hear my evil thoughts. And I'm the only one saying it out of a few others. As far as mainstream news go, no one is saying this.
What I want you to believe is that everybody else is ugly and we're the only pretty one. We're the only good ones. And even if you point out our ugliness, we're just going to go bypass that.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Donald Trump can look at you with a straight face and say, I'm not in the Epstein files, and you'll believe it.
Pause. This guy's so thick. And we didn't say we're prettier than you. Everyone talks about how beautiful Lizzo is, and every movie and TV show has... The white guy, Spider-Man, sees a black girl, and he's like, Zendaya, and he's like, wow, she's perfect. And black women do nothing but wear white-like hair. Asians, Indians, anything but black hair. So I'm not doing this. You are.
not going to go to war with Iran. Then when he go to war with Iran, oh, we had to do it to save people. America,
no,
just
pause. First of all, I'm one of the only people left who is still on the Trump train. Everyone is furious with him about this. And what was the previous one he said?
Epstein.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what the Epstein files are. You don't realize that every when Trump takes one of his planes and doesn't go near the island, it still counts as being in the Epstein files. Every allegation against him that someone randomly makes as sends in an email, that's now in the Epstein files. So no matter what's submitted, it gets in. It includes everything. Does this guy think he was on the island?
No.
I think the mainstream left believes that he's a pedophile.
It's hard to say that white people are good. The nastiest, most disgusting.
Can you? Like, the fact that that clip exists and can go viral and is on a talk show disproves it. It is literally impossible to imagine me saying that or you saying that or anyone saying that about blacks. Can you imagine? Like that, you'd think you're some bizarre KKK site that no one else is allowed to see. I thought, and this is again universal. I would include South Africa in the West at least a long time ago. They have Western values. The Boers are essentially Europeans that evolved to be Africans. But look at this switcheroo piece.
As a white South African, I just want to tell you what I miss about the old South Africa, the pre-democracy South Africa, because I saw this video come up with shots of Joburg in 1980, and it made me think about how much South Africa has lost since those days. So if you know any white South Africans, please send them this video. I would love to know what they think about what I miss about the old South Africa. I do get a bit emotional talking about this stuff. I do get really nostalgic, so please forgive me if I get emotional. Number five on the things I miss about the old South Africa is Dulcie September. Dulcie was from Cape Town. She trained as a teacher before joining various anti-apartheid organizations. She went into exile in London in the 1970s, and she ended up working for the UN and various NGOs campaigning for women's and children's rights. She then became the ANC's representative in Paris, where she was shot dead in March 1988, probably by an apartheid government operative, although her murder has never been solved. Dulcie, the street where you were killed is now named after you. We miss you. We wish you were still here, and you will never be forgotten. The four on the list of things I miss about the old South Africa are the Craddock Four. I know there are four of them, but I'm counting them as one for this video. The Craddock Four were Sekelo Mhlauli, Fort Kalata, Matthew Goniwe, and Sparrow Mkonto. These guys were community organizers. They were dynamic, interesting leaders in the anti-apartheid movement in the town of Craddock. They were abducted from a roadblock. They were tortured, stabbed, and murdered.
See, this, and you could blame the Jews for South Africa, whatever floats your boat, but it's a white trait. I don't know what it is. I don't know why the Lord put us that microchip in us, but we need to self-hate. So this guy is talking about how horrific apartheid was. He pretends that he likes old South Africa better when it worked. South Africa was not a whites-only community that outlawed blacks. It was nothing. It was abandoned. It was, no one was there. It's really rugged land. Boers, who were a very unique group, think of them as Amish, okay? Instead of writing Amish only, they wrote whites only. It was just a given that they meant Boers. So apartheid was a Boers only community. And they hated the British. The British fought them and killed them. The Brits committed genocide against the Boers. So this group, pretend they're black if that helps, this group carved out some land for themselves, right? And just like the child's fable, if you weren't there to bake the bread, you can't have any of the bread. So they created a white Wakanda out of nothing, and then people wanted to come in. Now, they should have said Boers only, non-Boers, whatever. That would have been easier for people to understand, but they mistakenly said whites and blacks. And so thanks to the guy from Bruce Springsteen, Sal, right? What's his name there? Steven Stevens, Little Stevens?
Steve Van Zandt.
He wrote the song Sun City, and they boycotted South Africa, and they changed that Boer law. And this is South Africa today. Let's check in on what's happened to that country since the Boers weren't allowed to guard their own land. It's, spoiler alert, it's become a hellhole.
You own the building?
No.
Yeah, so don't ask me. Let's go. That's us. Well, this building belongs to the city, to my understanding. And as you can see, it's hijacked.
This is pretty insane, eh?
Yeah, this is how they live. Nobody pay rent or anything.
It's post-apocalyptic.
Do you know roughly how many people live in this place?
I wouldn't be able to say that. A lot of criminals live here. All the buildings are the same, with the same dynamics.
Pretty much.
Bed, no one paying, hijacked, it's all the same.
Oh my, that's probably goes down to the basement or something.
Yeah, like the basement. When they rob people, they like running in this building also.
Ooh, hello.
Hello.
Oh my God.
How are you?
I'm pretty hungry.
Do you live here?
Yeah.
Wow, my word. How long has this building been like this for?
Long, very long.
Is it okay if I come in?
Imagine looking at that and going, well, at least they're free. At least we have freedom now. Thank God bless those activists that liberated us from Boer oppression. Isn't it amazing? Okay, last one. I was talking earlier about how the Brits have been kicked out of 90 countries. This was an interesting little sketch this guy did where he refused to apologize for his great-grandfather's crimes. But then, guess who makes an appearance at the end?
I just think we feel guilty and we're in no position to ask for favours due to the fact that we did colonise most of the world. I do want to be clear, I didn't do any of the colonising myself. It was my great-granddad, so have a go at him, okay? It wasn't my fault.
Great-granddad here. I'll be honest, I enjoyed every second of it, so, yeah, sorry not sorry. Back to you, old boy.
I just think...
So what's the takeaway here? I think that when you're right, you have to fight. You know, if there's a lot of people think children should be sexualized. No, we're not doing that. Well, you know, what about their rights? What about their constitutional rights? Like here's a great example in Quebec. I was talking about this all weekend. The Muslims were praying en masse. Okay, we have freedom of religion here, right? Canada's pretty much the same rules as America when it comes to that. And give them an inch, they take a mile, and they started doing what they're doing all over the Western world, which is praying everywhere. When I went to Jerusalem to see the birthplace of Jesus Christ, it has a massive iron fence around it with spikes, because Muslims have completely surrounded it. It's a tiny island surrounded by hundreds of Muslims. And what are they doing there? The call to prayer. That deafening, crappy loudspeakers playing their cacophonous prayers. And they all get down, and it's a show of force. You've got to sort of move around them to get to the birthplace of Christ. And it's the same all over Britain. They take over entire roads. Why wouldn't you choose a park? Why wouldn't you choose one of the many mosques that has completely taken over London? Because you're showing force. And by the way, we're seeing this right here in your state of Texas. I forget the number, but there's something like 800 mosques built in Texas in the past few years. They're really coming after Texas hard. And that's something you see with Islam, where they'll say, oh, they're only 1% of America. Yeah, they're not spreading thin. They're taking over areas. Oh, they're only 6% of Britain. Yeah, go to Luton, go to Birmingham. You'll see cities that are no longer British at all. They're even the kids have their own accent now, the Muslim kids. So in Quebec, they said, no, they went down to the Notre Dame Cathedral in Old Montreal. It's one of the most beautiful churches in the world. And Quebec's very different than the rest of Canada. It's like 400 years old. So Old Montreal is literally hundreds and hundreds of years old. It's much older than America. Whereas Canada, they got their national anthem in 1980 and their flag in 1970. It's a brand new country. And Quebec just said, no, you're not doing that. You need permission to pray. You need forms. And it's not going to be good for you if you're Muslim. We know what you're doing, and we're overriding it. Just like the Chinese coming here and having babies. Yes, we have birthright citizenship. You're abusing that law. We're changing that law. Why? Because I'm right and you're wrong. You're taking advantage of my altruism. You're taking advantage of my good nature. And rather than lie there and be trampled on, I'm saying, no, no, we're taking it back. You're not having a baby here. And you're not taking advantage of us. And you're not showing off to the rest of the world that I'm your bitch. So no, no more praying here. That's the future of America. That's the only future for the West. Because when you're not the boss, when you don't flex your muscles like we're doing in Iran, when you don't punch someone out as a shot caller in prison, then someone else becomes the head of the prison, and they're going to do a much worse job. And you know what a great example of that is? Feminism. We freed women. I said this on Twitter a few hours ago. We freed women from the kitchen, and where do they go? To a smaller kitchen in a van by the river alone that breaks down. And what do? They vlog. And when they really need gas money, they do OnlyFans. Welcome to the freedom. Let's do a little segment on feminism, Sean.
Okay.
And we'll talk about women left to their own devices, because it's not good. And wait, before you start this, I want to make clear, I'm not a sexist. I love women. I adore them. But I adore them in their natural state. I adore them as, you know, boys will be boys, kind kindergarten teachers that like their place in life. I love them as housewives. I love them as moms. I love them as feminine creatures. And they don't do well with power. They don't do well when left to their own devices. And they don't do well in the workforce. Generally, they tend to cheat on their husbands. Anyway, play the
Who here identifies as a feminist?
We are the storm, the very form of change that the world has been waiting for.
He said I was too pretty to fight.
And that's toxic masculinity. You don't realize how your behavior is harmful.
Okay, so we freed you from the kitchen. You live in a van. You do OnlyFans and vlog. How about we rent you out this giant hall in a hotel? What do you want to do? We want to have a sensual chest rubbing seminar. Okay. This is what you do with your freedom. Sorry, NSFW here. There are no actual nudes, I believe. But look how unbelievably retarded this is. Talk about retard maxing. It's not even sexual. They can't even do sex right. Like the whole burlesque thing. Is there anything less sexy than burlesque? It's basically Chippendales to me. It's gay men dancing around. That's what burlesque is. What is feeding strawberries? What are you doing? Here, let's check in politics. Okay, that's it. Politics is generally a male subject. It's about systems and numbers. 2 million illegals in America is not a big deal. 40 million, we have a problem. That's boring number stuff. But, you know, come on in, ladies. The water's fine. Let's see how you handle politics.
What do you not like about white people?
One, they breathe. Two, they speak. Three, they have thoughts. And all of it just needs to stop. We need women in power. We need people who are not white in power. We're done with the white men. We're done.
What a skin color.
Like South Africa?
Do with it.
By the way, you know you're white, right?
Why do you need less white people in power?
Inclusion.
People who help.
Isn't the majority of the world not white? Why do the minority of countries that are white have to be not white?
They just keep on making rules about things that don't pertain to them.
What non-white country are you
like
kind of
abortion?
Looking at saying, hey, you know, they're doing it right because they don't have white people? Which one is it, in your view?
That's the dumbest question. Ignore.
Well, no, if they're the problem, they're obviously...
Pause. The confidence thing is crazy to me. It's not even conceivable to her that she's not the smartest person in the world. Just like the woman walking into the green room on Saturday night, or stopping Tommy on the way to the venue, or even when we walk to the venue, I'm the guy hosting this show on Saturday night. And there's a woman standing by the door. She's like 40. And I go, hello. She's like, hello. And I go, trying to get through here. And I have to move around her. Like, they talk about man-spreading. Have you been outside? Every bar, every train seat, women take their purse, which they spent 4 months' wages on, because women aren't good at their own pocketbooks, and they put the purse in the chair next to them. That isn't spreading? Go ahead.
that are the solution. Who's the solution? Who's doing it right?
Women.
Women are.
Look at Mexico. Fine. You can look at, you know, anything.
Mexico is like a narco state.
Jasmine Crockett.
Huh? Is it Mexico like a narco state, though?
They got one bad area. My God.
They got one.
I mean, the whole thing is bad.
No, it's a beautiful country, but you don't.
No, it's not.
It's a one bad area in Mexico?
Yes.
So, Mexico is our goal. South Africa and Mexico is where the left wants us to end up. Okay. I don't want to do that. Okay, two more. I hope we have time. Okay, let's quickly go through. Women should not be in control. This is an okay, we got to squeeze this in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I will never agree with the path you took.
Then take it yourself. If what I do is so easy, do it.
I have my degree.
Okay.
Okay, I'll speak. So he's a computer programmer, and he makes, I don't know, 120 a year. She's a funeral director. She makes like 40, and that's totally unfair. And that's why she doesn't, that's her husband, by the way. That's why she doesn't agree with the path that he took. Funeral directing is, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's something that pretty much anyone can do. Just be able to deal with death and be polite and quiet to people who are mourning. Computer programming, what, 2% of the world can do that? Maybe less? I can't. You can't. It's hard. So you get paid more because it's a rare skill. Remember the MLB pitches? And she doesn't understand that. Like, that's the problem with a lot of the liberal brain in general, I'd say, is this equality of outcomes. Like, I went to school, I studied a thing, you went to school, you studied a thing, now we both do things, so we should get the same amount of money. That's a great idea, Mao. Way to crack the code. And that moronic thinking is female thinking, and it's all over the male brain these days, which is why we have Zoran Mamdani furious that white New Yorkers make $200K and black New Yorkers make $20K. No, dude. The latter group is living off the former group who are paying 80% of the taxes, probably for the whole state, and the rest of, and Section 8, where the other 20,000 a year people live. So the moral of the story is don't let them control everything. We have to bring back the patriarchy. We are in control of the world, not because we want to boss you around, but because every time we give you the steering wheel, you crashes into a ditch. So get back in the passenger seat. I'll be driving from now on, and I don't want to hear any more talk about crushing the patriarchy. It's the only thing keeping both of us alive. I'm not going to let you turn my world into an abandoned building in Johannesburg full of rats and feces. It's been a pleasure. See you next time, guys. I like you more than a friend. Get fired, get in trouble, be brave, and never...
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say...
Thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.